Well, friends, we're about to land this church plane. So if you've been hanging out with us for a few weeks, or you've been listening online, you know that we've been in a sermon series called The Church. And so we're about to kind of land this thing. And so we're toward the tail end of this series. And the church is one of those things that is God's big idea. What God wants to do in the lives of people. And how God sent Jesus, and those early followers of Jesus started out with just a message. And for those of you who've been here, you're like, Joe, you've said this every week, but it's important that we understand this. That it began with a message about a person. It wasn't about, hey, you should read the Bible, because there was not a Bible at the time. It wasn't, hey, you should come to the church, because there was not a church. It was a group of people. There was no building. And they were gathering, and they were learning, and they were trying to figure this whole thing out. This movement around this person of Jesus, who they had seen, and who they had witnessed, and who they had seen rise again. And they took this message to the streets of Jerusalem, and they shared it with whoever would listen and whoever would hear. And we've been in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is one of my favorite books of the Bible because it's a verb, right? I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are nouns for those of you who do not know. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are stories about Jesus, and those are awesome stories about Jesus. But the book of Acts, I love the book of Acts because the book of Acts is about Acts. It's about what the disciples did. It's about what the church did after Jesus came back. And then after Jesus left, this is what the church did. And the book of Acts is about how the church started and how it grew and all the places it went to. And believe it or not, it's important that you and I understand some of these things. And it's important that you and I begin to research and look at how in the world did this movement survive? And how did it take off? And how did it move into other parts of the world? And I said a few weeks ago that you and I are here today, we are gathered here today because somebody took the message beyond Jerusalem. Someone took the message beyond the world at that time and let it spread across continents and into other places. And you and I are here today because someone shared the message. Now, if you're someone like me, if you're a pastor, if you're someone who's involved in church leadership, you begin to kind of ask questions and you go, okay, so how did this thing move? How did it go where it needed to go? How did it spread? I mean, how did it survive Rome? I mean, Rome was a superpower at the time, and Rome persecuted the church, and there was this wide persecution that broke out, and so the Christians were not very popular people among the Roman government officials. And so how in the world did this movement survive Rome? And then how did it survive Judaism? I mean, how did it survive the Jewish people of the day? Because the Jewish people of the day said, hey, this thing's got to go. I don't know who this Jesus is, but this small group of people, they've got to stop doing this and they need to be quiet. And the Jews didn't want any of this message spreading, so they tried to keep it from spreading. And then furthermore, how in the world did the church survive history? And if you know anything about history, you probably don't. I was a history minor, but hey, that's all right. But in history, if you look back to 70 AD, all of a sudden, the Romans came into Jerusalem and they leveled Jerusalem and they burnt it to the ground. And so how in the world did this group of people, how did it survive all of the things that came against it? And those are the things that we've been kind of talking about as we look at the book of Acts. And to give you just kind of a brief review of what we've looked at, we looked at how this group of people was not, they weren't called Christians in the beginning. They weren't always called the church, but in the beginning they were called the Way, because they believed that Jesus was the way, and then they lived a certain way of life. And as they began to do this, this persecution breaks out. And when persecution happens, all of a sudden it spreads people other places. Because whenever all of a sudden people are trying to kill you, you go, well, man, I guess it's time to move out of town, right? I mean, you begin to kind of make some moves. I mean, you go, okay, it's not safe here anymore. And all of a sudden the church spreads, but these Christians just told the story everywhere they went. They began to tell this story about Jesus. And the disciples are told, okay, whatever you do, do not talk about Jesus. Do not talk about the resurrection. Don't even talk about the R word. Leave that thing behind. And the disciples say, well, we just can't be quiet about this. Jesus has done something. We've seen something. It's been miraculous, and we cannot help but talk about it. And last week, we talked about a character named Saul. Now, if you're one of those people that reads the Bible, a lot of people don't, but it's all good. We all still hang out in church, right? But if you read throughout the book of Acts, there is this guy named Saul, and we heard about his life-changing story last week. And now for some of us, we go, okay, so where did the name change happen? I mean, when did he become Paul? And the confusion can be cleared up fairly easily. Saul was his Jewish name, and Paul was his Roman name. He kind of had these two names going on. But Paul has this conversion, and it's a miraculous conversion, and he is won over to be a Christian and to follow Jesus. And he then goes, and we shared this map last week, he then goes and he shares this message all along the Mediterranean rim. And he starts these little churches, these little ecclesias. And the reason that word is important is because when you and I hear the word church, right, we think a building. So when someone comes up to you and they say, you ought to check out my church, we hear building. We go, okay, well, where is your building? But the word that Jesus used, the word that the New Testament uses, is the word ecclesia. And an ecclesia is a gathering of people. It's just a congregation of people. And so Paul goes and he travels all throughout the Mediterranean. And he plants these little gatherings, these small communities of people. And as he shares this message, he takes it beyond Judaism. He takes it beyond its Jewish roots, and he takes it to people like you and people like me, people who are called Gentiles. I mean, I can give you a whole history of that, but you should just Google that and do some research, right? You can do that later. But he goes and he shares this message with people like you and people like me, and Paul's central message is this. Okay, you know what? Your big question is, how can I have peace with God? And what you don't know is that God has already made peace with you. That God did something. God sent Jesus for all of us. Jesus was sent for every one of us. And Paul begins to go share this message, and he spreads it. But the problem is that back in Jerusalem, there is a controversy brewing. Has anybody ever been in a church where there's a controversy? Okay, you can raise your hands, right? Okay. I mean, unfortunately, churches are known for controversy, right? I mean, we're gonna read about a board meeting today, believe it or not. I mean, if you've ever wondered whether board meetings are exciting, we're gonna talk about one. They're really not that exciting, but anyhow. But the thing is there is this controversy brewing back in Jerusalem. And what's happening is, and this is important for you and I, because sometimes it's a controversy why some of us leave church. Some of us have friends, don't raise your hand, right? Some of us have friends who've left the church because of controversy. Some of us have people who've left the church because something didn't go a certain way, and they said, okay, we are not going back to that church. Or we've got friends and we've got family, and they've been mistreated by the church, and they left the church, and we go, hey, I know why they're not coming back. I know why they're not going anywhere. And so what we're going to talk about today is really important, especially how this controversy is handled. And it's why many of us sometimes are spiritual, but we're not church people. You know, we believe in a God, but we're like, I don't know about the church. I mean, I believe in a God and I believe in Jesus, but man, I don't know about the church. I'm not so sure that I can handle the church. And the controversy brewing in Jerusalem is around really two questions. And the questions are this. One, how good does a person have to be? And we've all experienced some of this. That all of a sudden somebody does something and we begin to go, okay, wait a second. I'm not so sure that that kind of person is allowed in church. I mean, they've got some tattoos that I'm not so sure that they should have some of those tattoos. And we begin to go, I don't know. Or they listen to some music that I'm not so sure that they should be listening to that kind of music. I mean, if you guys heard my story first Sunday, I mean, I was convinced that I could not become a Christian because my hair was too long, right? I mean, we've heard some things like that. But the thing is here's the question. How good does a person have to be? And then the second question is this. Well, who is the church for? Because the temptation is to kind of make it for you and to make it for me. And inside this passage that we're going to read about this morning is this controversy. And all of a sudden, there are these Jewish people who are saying, okay, wait a second. These people cannot just trust Jesus. These people that Paul is going around to and sharing this message with, they cannot be that easy. I mean, they need to keep the Ten Commandments. And not only do they need to keep the Ten Commandments, but they need to keep all 600 of those other laws, right? I mean, anybody, don't raise your hand. Anybody know of churches that got way too many rules, right? And the thing is this, is Paul is going, hey, wait a second. You are causing problems with my message. And the Jews are saying, hey, if you're going to be a part of Jesus, you also need to be Jewish. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you also got to be a follower of Moses. That's what's got to happen. And they've got all these ideas and all these things that they have going on. And the Jews, what happens is they begin to send people to these people that Paul has welcomed into the faith. And they say, okay, wait a second. I know that you heard that Jesus died for your sins, but it cannot be that simple. It's a little more complicated, and we've got more rules for you, and we got more regulations for you. And so before you make any moves, here's what's got to go on. And for some of us, right, some of us have friends who've dropped out of church for this very reason. And it's why people like me, okay, here's my big problem, is I thought I was not good enough for the church. And so I thought I was one of those people, right? I mean, the church is going to burn down if I go. And that, you know, we all have friends like that, right? We all have friends who go, I'm not going to that church because it's going to burn down if I walk in. And the reality is I have yet to see a church burn down because somebody walked in. So, but the thing is this, is we all begin to have these ideas that, well, someone's got to be this and they've got to be that and they've got to look like this and they got to look like me and they got to dress like me and they got to sing like me and all those things, even though you may not be the great of a singer, just joking. But those are the problems, and they've got these do's and these don'ts and these things that are going on. And the problem is that we struggle with grace and forgiveness and truth, and we try to figure out how we balance that thing. When Jesus himself didn't have a balance, Jesus himself was fully grace, fully truth, fully forgiveness. Jesus embodied all those things. And so Jesus says, hey, wait a second. You can just walk a life. There's no need to balance these things. You can just walk and you can do some things and you can choose some things. And so Jesus built bridges and he did not build barriers. He didn't build walls. That wasn't what Jesus did. Jesus built bridges to other people. And I'm convinced that if you and I can kind of figure out how to get this right and how to really be a great church and understand how to kind of walk with people, how to just exist, that we can be stinking amazing. Okay, I just said stinking amazing in church, but that's what it can be. So if you want to, you can turn in your Bible to Acts 15, however you want to do that, or it's going to be right here on the screen. Now, I need to warn you ahead of time, friends, this is going to be a little PG-13 today. Okay, so I'm not going to give any details. You can get some details at home. So if you got questions, go talk to your grandparents, and they can work that out. But here we go. This is the first board meeting, and this is the first controversy that the church ever dealt with. And it's a little uncomfortable, but here's the message. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch, and we're teaching the believers, teaching these new Christians, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Okay, and here's the summary of the message. The summary of the message is this. Okay, you can't follow Jesus until you have surgery. Okay? That is what's got to go on. You cannot follow Jesus unless you have surgery. I mean, if you're going to be saved, you got to be Jewish. And this is why, friends, this is why, right? This is why the new members class was not full. This is why the new members class was just women and children, right? Because the men were in the car. The men were like, I'm going to listen to the game. It comes on at noon. And I wanted the preacher to be done anyhow. And so that's the Joe version, just in case you're like, I don't think that's in my version. But that's the Joe version of what went on. But there's this idea, and see, here's the thing, is you and I, now here's what happens is, when you and I sit down and read Acts 15, we just kind of gloss through that. We don't even think about the implications. We don't think about what this means. We just, okay, well, cool, those old Jewish people, what do they know anyhow? And that, but it moves on. And what happens is all of a sudden, this brings Paul and Barnabas into this sharp debate. It brings them into this dispute with them, which is obvious, right? I mean, because Paul and Barnabas, they've been sharing the message. They have been spreading this message all around. And Paul's like, oh, okay, wait a second. I've been telling everybody this is simple. I've been telling everybody that, hey, this is the thing. It's simple. All you have to do, Jesus died for you, and that's it. And you just start following. That's all that needs to happen. And the Jews are going around, they're saying, okay, wait a second. Paul didn't tell you the whole story. You need the Paul Harvey, right? Any Paul Harvey people? You need the rest of the story. There is more to this. There's some laws. There's some things. And so then what they do is they send Paul and they send Barnabas to Jerusalem to try and straighten this thing out. Okay, we got to get some clarity on this. And so you guys go to Jerusalem, sit down with the other believers, sit down with the apostles, and let's get this thing figured out. And so they go on. It says, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders to whom they reported everything God had done through them. And what's going on here is Paul is letting everybody know, and Barnabas is letting everybody know, hey, we have been spreading this thing, and we've been going to churches, and we've been planning churches. And these Gentiles, they have been embracing the message of Jesus. And God does something amazing in their lives when they embrace this simple message. And so we've been inviting them to this, and you guys are complicating everything. You guys are muddying the water. Because the water was clear and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden you have been going around behind us causing all kinds of problems. Now this is what happens, right? Because this has never happened to you, probably never happened to me, right? Is that someone has come into church and they may have, who knows, they just didn't look like somebody. And then someone sat down beside them or someone pulled them aside and they said, hey, by the way, we don't do that in here, right? Or we don't wear that in here. Or we don't talk that way in here. Or we don't, you don't wear your hat in here. You all know, right? I'm not sharing any information you don't know about. But here's the problem. Paul says, hey, wait a second. It is not that complicated. We've got to figure out what are we going to do? And we're sending mixed messages. And as he begins to share this story, we go on. He says, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. Now, one thing, if you read throughout the entire New Testament, Pharisees are always, always villains. That's just, it's unfortunate. That's just the way it is. But they're always villains. But the good news is some of these people who put Jesus to death obviously have started following Jesus. But it says that the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. I mean, we get that Jesus died for our sins, but don't they have to act like us, right? Don't they have to do those things we have to do? And you and I, we laugh at this, right? But we've experienced those things where we go, somebody needs to do exactly the way I do it. Someone needs to worship the way I do it. Did you know so-and-so is off key? Have you heard them sing, right? And we, everybody's like, Joe, move on. But we've experienced those things. And so they're like, hey, something is going on. And when you and I hear this, when you and I hear law, we just think Ten Commandments. We go, oh, the law, okay, Ten Commandments. I mean, those are good. I don't know all of them. I think I learned them in Sunday school, but I think they're good, right? I mean, you shouldn't kill anybody. That's a good thing, right? You should probably, you know, stay married to your wife and not look for someone else's, right? I mean, that's probably a good thing. Don't lie. I mean, that's what we tell our children, right? And then we threaten them with things. But those are good things. But what they're talking about is all of these other 600 laws. And they're convinced that, you know what, they need to be more like us. And so, Paul, here's what you need to do. You need to get back on the boat, and you need to go visit all of these places. And you need to make sure that they adhere to the same rules that we do. And we go on. It says, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. And Peter begins to talk about, and you know, they all know the story that Peter went, and he went to a Roman centurion's house, and he shared the gospel. And all of a sudden, this Roman centurion and his family believed. And then he goes on, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. That it's God who knows the heart. And God gave the message, not just to you and I, but God gave this message to everyone else. And the problem is that Peter is talking about the heart. And the problem for you and the problem for me and the problem for these Jewish believers is this. Is that we see on the outside, right? We can't see the heart, but only God sees the heart. I mean, we can tell you what behavior looks like, right? So here's so-and-so's behavior. Or we can tell you how a person dresses. We can tell you all about that. Or we can tell you what a person looks like or what a person does. But the problem is we do not know the heart. And Peter says, hey, we can't gauge the heart. So let's pay attention to what's going on. And then he goes on. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Good Jews and good Gentiles. I mean, he did it both ways. God is doing great things in the lives of people. And then he goes on, and he kind of twists a little bit, right? He does this. He says, now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? In other words, here's what Peter is saying. He's saying this. Has anybody broke the law? And everybody, I'm sure, is going, oh, wait a second. Do I need to raise my hand? Right? This is Jesus. This is Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus says, he who is without sin. With somebody who is without sin in the crowd. And everybody goes, oh, wait a second. And they begin to kind of back up. I'm just going to put my rock over here and I'm going to go out the side door, right? But Peter says, hey, is anybody in this room perfect? Is anybody in this place perfect? No, we've all broken the law. And so why in the world would we put something on these people coming to faith whenever we don't even keep the law? And then he's really saying this. He's saying a word none of us want to be called, right? In other words, he's saying, let's not be hypocrites, right? Let's not be hypocrites, because that's going to cause all kinds of problems. And then he goes on. He says, no, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. I mean, God knows the heart. God can purify our hearts. God can purify their hearts before he purifies anything else. God can do those things, and it is God who does all that. And so they begin to talk, and they begin to discuss, and then Paul and Barnabas begin to kind of talk about these things again, what God has done. And then all of a sudden, James, who is the brother of Jesus, gives kind of this long little bit that Robin read earlier, but what I want to read to you is I want to read to you how he ends what he says. And James says this. He says, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. In other words, man, let's not put anything in the way of people coming to Jesus. Let's not do that. Let's not create all these rules and all these things and all these complications that are going to keep people from turning to God. Let's not make it difficult for people turning to God. This is about people. This is about outreach. It's about who's not here yet. And anything that makes it difficult will be resisting the will of God. Now you and I, right, we're all sitting here. We all are like, you know what? I don't think we do that, right? We don't do those things. But the problem is that things kind of creep in a little subtle. And so what I want to do is I want to highlight three things to kind of wrap this up. Three things that I think all churches struggle with. Things that you struggle with, things that I struggle with. Number one, we tend to drift toward insiders and away from outsiders. That's how organizations gather. Is all of a sudden we begin to look for things for our insiders instead of those outsiders. We become more concerned about people already here. We become concerned more about those who know the songs. We become more concerned about those who know where to sit, right? Because everybody's got their right spot. No one really changes, right? But we become more concerned about the insiders instead of the outsiders. The second one is this, is we tend to drift toward the law and away from grace. That we tend to come up with more rules, right? Instead of giving grace. And we tend to go, okay, here's the list. Here's the 10. Here's the 15. Here's the 20. And we just continue to pile on the laws and pile on all these categories of what people have to be like. And I think what you and I have to do is we need to be okay with messy. We need to be okay with having conversations. We need to be okay with building bridges instead of setting up barriers. Because what happens is when everything gets complicated, right? When everything gets complicated in the church, we begin to build barriers instead of bridges. And then finally, we begin to drift toward preserving rather than advancing. And the problem is this, right? Is we have buildings, we have property, we have those things, and we begin to kind of lock those things away and decide who can touch something and who cannot touch something. Who can use it, who can't use it. Who did this and who did that. When God says, hey, advance this thing, move it forward, share the message of Jesus, and be wide open. Let's be open-handed. Let's continue to reach people who are not church people, who don't know how to sing the songs, who don't know where to sit, who don't know what's proper, right? And we continue to move in those ways. So three solutions. Here's three solutions. Number one is this. Is that you and I need to be bold and live an authentic life and invite others into this great community. Number three is this, is that we need to err on the side of grace, not on the side of law. I mean, if we're going to make some mistakes, let's make mistakes in grace. And then finally, let's be open-handed and let's take risks for Jesus instead of saying, oh, let's just preserve it and let's kind of hang out in our holy huddle, right? Because that's what we tend to do. So there's our marching orders. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to sing a song. God, we are so grateful for this story of Paul sharing this message and spreading it all across the Mediterranean. And God, we are here today because someone shared the message. So God, help us not drift in these ways. Help us drift more toward what you want to do in the lives of people. Help us drift toward outsiders instead of insiders. Help us drift toward grace instead of law. And help us drift toward advancing the mission instead of preserving what we already have. In Jesus' name, amen.